Hello and welcome to this week's Irish Wools podcast. My name is Tony Lawler, and in our efforts to cover all of the Emerald Oil, this week we're doubling up on our chats. We have Derek Turner, who's living in Portlaoise in the Midlands, and Paul Lindsay, who was one of our members, our newer members as well, from Bangor near Belfast. So, first up today is Derek. Well, Derek, how are you?
Hi, Tony, how are you?
Grand. You keeping well?
Yes, well as can be, yeah.
Sure, head up. You're my next victim on our little podcast. And
I'm probably one of your newest members as well.
Yeah, true. I was, I was talking to one of the lads recently that actually we would have met in Portlaoise, lad from Clare, Owen. And you arranged that venue in Portlaoise, and he came along and he was interviewing some of us. So,
yes, I remember that. Yeah, young lads.
So I was talking to him there last week. But speaking of being young lads, when you were a young lad growing up in Chapel Izzet, did you play much football?
My dad's was more into boxing. Like, you have to hear, sons of fathers was always football, but my dad was always into boxing. So he always tried to get me and my brother into boxing.
Yeah.
But we could never take the boxing.
It's a particular, say, most lads can go out and kick a ball around, but
boxing is a trained art.
Punching or being punched is an art, as you say.
Yeah. So no, it's just sport and me never really went together.
No, but no. So then I suppose, how did Wolves come into your life?
One of your previous podcasts, I think it was the fourth podcast that was brought up, the Evening Herald on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Used to bring out a late edition with all the football results. So my dad always sent me down about 5:30 to the local corner shop to pick up that paper. And I always remember just coming home, looking at the football results, and the name Wolves just stood out because it was an unusual name.
Yeah.
And then every week, it was Steve Ball was on the score sheet. It didn't matter if Wolves won, lost, or draw, Steve Ball was always scoring.
What year would that have been?
Say it would have been 93.
He was flying at that stage.
Yeah, and I remember, I always looked at Wolves. Every time I got the paper in the shop, I'd just be looking at the Wolves, how it started. Yeah. And then I think it was at the time seeing the crest, the face of the wolf, I thought there was different. It was different to other club crests.
It's very distinctive, I mean, still the same one. It's amazing, I suppose, when you think Wolves were probably ahead of the game, because a lot of clubs now in the last 10, 15 years have kind of, with marketing in mind, they've kind of rebranded the crest.
Yeah, like Man City have done Juventus recently, they've done it as well.
Yeah, Juventus is the J, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not exactly.
The stars or something on top, no.
Yeah, not exactly very imaginative. But I suppose you watched Wolves on telly in the early years, but when did you actually get to see Wolves in the flesh?
In the flesh. Say anybody that's listening to this is going to say I'm just jumping on the bandwagon. The first time I saw Wolves was 2016. Yeah, it was 2016. Nobody heard of Wolves. Like, Wolves wasn't as big as Man City or Chelsea or Arsenal. Nobody heard of Wolves. So trying to find somebody to go to a game, it was difficult.
Yeah.
And I was never brave enough to go to a Wolves game on my own.
Yeah.
Do that trip on my own, even though I was in my 30s.
Yeah.
So my then fiance, my now wife, got me a ticket for Leeds.
Yeah.
I think it was Walter Sanger's first game.
All right.
And we lost 1-0. So that was my first game.
Yeah.
I think it was Silva scored an OG.
Oh, right, yeah.
If I can remember right, he scored an OG late on the game, 70th minute or so.
Yeah.
So that was my first Wolves game.
Yeah. Wasn't a good start.
So I'm pretty new onto going to a game.
Go on the day trip over, or did you stay over a night?
No, we stayed the night. Yeah, myself and Tony, the wife, we went to Dublin Airport, and we met Michael McQuillan first.
Oh, right.
He brought us down to where you were sitting, and I think Ken Saunders was with you as well. So,
yeah.
As soon as we met you, we felt like a part of a family. We didn't feel like new people or outsiders, so we felt very welcome. So, yeah, it was...
It's like...
We slotted in straight away.
Yeah, it's part of a process that, you know, you meet Mick. You normally meet them on your first trip, if not within the first two or three anyway. But what do you call it? A rite of passage. Isn't that what you call it?
He was couldn't do enough for us at all. Like, he brought us down to the train station and brought us up to the hotel. We were staying at the Novotel. And like, even though he wasn't staying at the Novotel, he brought us practically up to the door. So yeah, we'd like to be thankful for it to Mike that day.
Yeah. Have you been at many Wolves games since 2016, since that Leeds game?
Yeah, so I think it could have been four or five, and then there was one away trip to Old Trafford.
Yeah.
I think it was 2019, we drew 1-1 in Old Trafford.
Yeah, it was Moutinho.
Moutinho, yeah. Yeah, we equalised. And it was sitting in with the United fans.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was down towards where the Wolves fans was, in that stand.
Yeah.
And what, so we were in ticket of it.
What was it like? How did you feel sitting there with the Wolves fans so close and being amongst the United supporters?
At the start, once we sat down and saw who we were sitting around, it was a bit intimidated because it was like, if Wolves score, we can't jump up in the air and celebrate.
Yeah.
It was my only Wolves game. I didn't wear any Wolves scarves or memorabilia. I bought a half and half scarf outside the grounds.
Yeah.
But that was the only piece of Wolves I had on me. But it was great being beside a Wolves fan. You felt like you were at a home game. Yeah. You were so loud, so biased. It was
interesting. I think 2010 when Mick got criticised for putting out practically a B team against United before Christmas, and I'd managed to get tickets. Probably similar place to where you were, beside the Wolves fans, with the United fans. Yeah. But like, we were beaten 3-0, so, and there was never, with the team Mick put out, there was no danger, I think, of us ever scoring. But it was funny because all the United fans around, they hardly moved when United scored, you know. So
I was just going to say that I was amazed how quiet the United fans were, even though when they went 1-0 up, it's like they were so quiet, and I was amazed by that.
Yeah, the tickets, I got two tickets. And I was told, and it's all the people around that particular area seemed to be under instructions to pass the tickets on to somebody. And it was a case of, you know, here you are, you have these tickets. Will you give them to the fella sitting two rows in front of you when you're there? And so everybody there seemed to be on somebody else's ticket. So I can understand it's probably a novelty, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened to us. A lad that works with the wife, it was his season ticket we were using.
Yeah,
so that's how we were sitting in the home fans. But it was a great experience. Lovely to see Old Trafford's.
Yeah.
So, it was a good experience, enjoyable.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll be seeing it plenty more times.
Hopefully, yeah. Please God.
So what would be your standout game, Wolves game, that you've been at?
I think every Wolves game I've been at has been a memory. You can always remember something from each game. Maybe it's because I've been to so few. But I think it was the first game back in the Premier League. We drew 2-0 with Everton.
Yeah.
Yeah, that has to be up there. And then last January was my last Wolves game. We played Liverpool under the lights.
Yeah.
I think it was the 26th of January. We lost 2-1 that night. That was a great game. It was an enjoyable game.
That's right. We were very unlucky that night,
The 2-0 draw with Everton. So I think the 2-1 draw with Everton and the Liverpool game last January, would be the two most enjoyable games for us.
Yeah, because that Everton game, that was our first game back, wasn't it? In
the first game back, I think Neves scored from a free kick.
So little did we know, 3 years later, we'd still be plying our trade in the Premier League.
And mixing with the big boys, as they say.
Yeah, so hopefully another season or two, and we'll be one of the big boys.
We'll be up there,
But do you have any opposition, any opposing team that you like to you look forward to us playing against?
He always used to look forward to the Minnows.
Yeah,
because he always thought it was going to be 3 points against Fulham or West Brom or the Newcastle. Do you think you were guaranteed 3 points?
Yeah.
I always like Leeds because they're a good side now. The fan base is good. And just from my first Wolves game, the atmosphere between both teams is unusual. It's different.
Yeah, it's funny because I suppose the problem, if you want to call it a problem, about a lot of clubs in the Premier League, and that there's no kind of long-term rivalry there. You know, like Wolves and Leeds go back a hell of a long time. You know, whereas some of the other clubs, there just isn't that. Like Crystal Palace wouldn't exactly get your mouth watering when you're playing, Bournemouth when they were there, you know. So yeah, like Leeds, but I think Leeds' reputation going back to the 60s and 70s as a hard team, kind of it's always a special occasion, I suppose, when you play them. Yeah, because you know, most of the times you're hoping to beat United or you're hoping to beat Liverpool or Man City, but like Leeds are probably one of those teams that have always been around, a bit like ourselves.
If you look at like comments on certain Wolves Facebook pages, people always say that we play the best against United or Liverpool or Chelsea. We do, like, they're enjoyable games, so you look forward to them games because you know Wolves are going to play decent football.
Yeah,
it's going to be a decent game.
Leeds are, they're just one of those clubs that they say get you going, get you thinking of it, you know, as I say, as I say, kind of similar to ourselves. They spent a long, long time in the Championship trying to get into the Premier League,
And
even went down to League One, like, for a couple of seasons, so You know, there's a lot of stuff, even though we, you know, traditionally Wolves fans don't like them, we have an awful lot in common with them.
And there's a bit of, like Wolves, there's an Irish connection there as well, with Dave O'Leary being manager.
Yeah.
And Johnny Giles playing.
But
so there's always been a connection there.
Yeah. But I suppose one of the questions that has always caused a bit of debate is your favourite Wolves player over the years.
Jesus, there was a lot. You have to admire the current team that's there. Neto, Jimenez. I always like when Freddie Eastwood, Michael Keightley. I always like them kind of players.
Yeah, in the Mick days.
Yeah, Eastwood was a gifted player, nimble on the feet. Kevin Doyle, not just saying that for the Irish connection, but he always gave it everything for the 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, a workhorse.
Yeah, because I remember Freddie Eastwood when he came to Wolves with great hopes. I'm trying to remember what club we signed him from. It was one of the lower league clubs, I think. I saw him. I think he played for Wolves in Bray in a pre-season friendly, and I think he scored a couple of goals, and everyone was hoping he was going to be our star centre forward. But unfortunately,
yeah, the next big thing,
yeah.
No, I always liked him. And Olivan Jana, I thought he was a solid midfielder.
Yeah. Olivan Jana, I was thinking he was a bit ahead of his time. You know, like if you look at now, every midfield has a player, apart from ours actually, has a player like that. That's kind of breaks forward from the midfield and that.
Yeah. He was a current day Wanyama of Liverpool. He was that kind of, he held the midfield. Yeah. He always chased back and got forward as well.
Yeah.
If I ever took up football, I always liked the position I would have liked him to play with a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And I always liked Matt Murray. I thought he was a great goalkeeper.
Yeah.
He was quick. Yeah. His reactions were superb. His distribution was nearly every time spot on.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he was unfortunate with injuries, I suppose, for, you know.
Yeah.
He missed the Premier League season and, you know, he never kind of quite got back consistently.
Exactly, playing. Yeah. Mm.
So following on from players, who would your favourite manager or managers? You can have more than one.
Kenny Jacket, for what he'd done for Wolves to get us out of where we were at the time he took over.
I think
you have to say Mick as well. Yeah, there's a Kenny Jacket. I don't think he gets or he has gotten the praise that he deserves and the recognition.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. All right, he kind of, you know, he got us back up running again. He was replaced. So quickly after we got to the championship people did forget about. But like he did a great job at stabilising the club. You know, I know that even the owners, Morgan at the time, got bad press from people. But as people say, between Jacket and himself, they put the club on a good foundation, which meant that it was a very attractive club.
This is where we are now, yeah.
So and Mr. McCarthy as well.
McCarthy, yeah, like everybody said he was. He's only a championship manager, but when we were in the Premiership with Mick, we got relegated. And I say if Mick was given another season or two, we would have been a good mid table. We would have been safe. Delighted to see he's doing so well with Cardiff now.
Yeah, and I think the timing of when he was sacked too was kind of February.
It was unfortunate. Mm. Yeah.
You know, as you say, he's still going strong with Cardiff, as you say.
Definitely, like he topped up the time of Cyprus. That was his summer holiday. He was only six games in Cyprus, wasn't he? And then he got the sack in Cyprus,
that's
and then
right.
He went to Cardiff.
Yeah. He spent more time on holidays than he spent in Cyprus, I think.
Yeah. So you have to say Nuno's doing a fabulous job now with us at the moment.
Yeah.
I think he will give him a season or two, and if he gets some money, we definitely be pushing for Europe again and to be a top six club.
Without a doubt, you know, and the owners, Fosun, seem to be serious enough that you can't just throw money at it now with the fair play and all that, you know.
And I like for Nuno, the way he takes players on loan first before he buys them.
Yeah.
Like we can see with William Jose, I don't think Nuno's going to sign him up permanently in the summer. So he's clever taking players on loan first before spending the big bucks and going back looking for big bucks. So he's a good manager.
That seems to be the way to operate now. You know, get him in on loan with an option. I think for financial stability as well, I think that's
for fair play.
Just that we mentioned earlier about memorabilia and all that. You know, do you have many items, Wolves items?
Wolves items. Yeah, I have a couple of things downstairs. Like I have a picture from that day in O'Connor Street when Steve Bull came over. It was a picture signed by Bully.
Yeah, in Murray's, yeah.
That was a great day. And then it's not Wolves related. I've saw the grass from the old Lansdowne Road before it was torn down and redeveloped to the Aviva.
Yeah.
Elvries were selling, they've cut up certain patches of the grass or a certain area of the grass.
Yeah.
And it's about 2 inches deep. You can see right into the soil.
Yeah.
And the grass on top in a glass case.
Oh, lovely.
So that would be up there, one of my favourite memorabilia.
Yeah.
I've a signed Robbie Keane jersey.
Yeah. When did you get that?
Yeah. At an Ireland game.
All right.
Yeah. I like going to a match and be in before the crowd comes.
Yeah.
And watch the team warm up and just sit down and read the programme.
Yeah.
So I just went down to Robbie, and he was playing for Wolves at the time.
Yeah.
And I just asked him, would he sign us? And he signed away.
Yeah, that was great.
So that's up in my mum's house. My mum wants me to take it down here to the new house.
Yeah. I'll put it in the frame.
Up on the walls. So.
That'd be great.
So it's the Steve Ball autograph and the picture of him and the side of turf would be
your top
three. Simple things, but meaningful.
Yeah, that's it. It's the memories that they evoke, really. You know, that's the main thing with memorabilia and that. Yeah. So just I suppose we're nearing the end of the game, as they say. Just what are you hoping for next season? And
I'd love to see us go on another cup run, another FA Cup run, and aim for our top seven, top six again.
Yeah.
What would be ideal, would be spot on. And hope that we can hold on to the players we have, hold on to Neves, hold on to Neto, hold on to Body, hold on to the current crop we have, and to build on the team we have there now.
I'd say there'll be a bit of business, because there's probably one or two that we have at the moment that might, say, probably Marcel and a couple of others won't stay on, which will free up space for a couple of new signings. All right, yeah.
And if the rumours about Moutinho going back to finish his career in Portugal, if Triori is going to be moving on, you'd like to see them being replaced.
Yeah, I think Vitinha has kind of been rumoured as being the next Moutinho, you know, so maybe next season will be his year, you know.
But it's nice to see the current crop of players we have, like Semedo. He was off the boil when he joined.
Yeah.
And he joined Wolves, but he showed his worth now, I think, over the last couple of games before the international break. I think he's a more than super replacement for Doherty.
It's all hopeful anyway, Derek.
Yeah, and we live in hope. As a Wolves fan, we've learned to live in hope.
Yes, and you never know. We might even get over there in the new season.
Hopefully.
Whenever it starts in August, September.
Hopefully.
So listen, great to talk to you.
You too, Tony. Take care.
Right, and we'll talk again soon.
No bother. Stay safe.
Okay, that was Derek Turner. And now, next up, we have Paul Lindsay. Anyway, Paul, how are you? How are things going?
Yeah, good. It's nice to catch up. I mean, we don't often get to see each other these days, so to be able to do like podcasting, talk about Wolves is really nice. And it's a year from most of us, and longer than most of us been at a match. So
yeah, I was thinking it was probably the Espanyol game, I think, at home was the last time we met up.
Yeah, it was actually.
So,
yeah,
you know,
a year.
I was going to ask you, I like asking lads, you know, that like football for most of us is in the blood. So did you play much football when you were growing up?
I played a bit, to be fair. I actually played more rugby than I played football, because in my primary school years, I sort of lived a bit of a nomadic life because of my dad's job. You know, we started off, I mean, I'm from Bangor, County Down, but we moved to Australia for 4 years when I was only 5 or 6.
Yeah.
So, you know, I played football there for a team in Lakemba, New South Wales, which my dad actually managed. But I also played rugby league as well. So, you know, like most kids, you sort of try all sports and you fall in love with one. But my dad played football. He played a bit of football at Ards and stuff. So football was always in the blood. And then we come back to Northern Ireland for a while, and then ended up in England. So in England, I went to a grammar school. So grammar school, as we all know, is rugby dominated. So I played rugby as well. But I say the football thing was always there. But I was a great lover of football, but I was more a rugby player.
Yeah. So how did Wolves come into the picture for you then?
Well, funny, it's a question, as we just said, it's a question that we all get asked coming from the four corners of Ireland. Why did you pick Wolves as a team to support? Because it is a painful existence. I moved to England when I was about 9 or 10, again with my father's job, and my dad took me to a few games. And the boys will laugh and Andy will cringe. You know, one of the first places he ever took me was the Hawthorns.
Oh, it's out there now. You can't do anything about it.
78 or 79. But I'm not sure who the opponents were that day, but I can remember the match quite vividly because I have an old autograph book, which is in my mother and father's house. And I know that in that autograph book, Laurie Cunningham, Cyril Regis, Brendan Batson, you know, and Brian Robson was playing for them then, I think.
Yeah, they had a brilliant team then, yeah.
Yeah, I think they finished third or fourth that year in the old English First Division.
Yeah.
So that stuck in my mind, to be honest with you. You know, but my first Wolves game was, believe it or not, at Anfield, 79, I think it was.
Yeah.
My dad took me and my granda there and we lost. Liverpool beat us 3-0.
Yeah.
And I'd left Northern Ireland as a sort of a Liverpool fan as a kid. And going to Anfield to see my so-called heroes that day didn't turn out as I expected because I was gutted at the end, and I knew then that the Wolves were in the blood. And really, 41 or 42 years later, you know, I'm still as passionate as I was. But that first game at Anfield, you know, I expected to be watching Liverpool, and they ended up falling in love with Wolves. And that's really how it all began.
Yeah. And, like, you know, that probably a real memorable game for you. But, like, probably in the intervening years, like, what would be the standout game for you? Or even maybe, particularly with the success in the last 3 or 4 years, maybe there might be more than one.
Well, it's hard to pick one. And you know yourself, there's certain games that mean a lot for different reasons. Obviously, the 1980, I went to live in England, 78, 79, 80. So it was a great time to be a Wolves fan.
Yeah.
And 1980 League Cup final at Wembley was obviously a bit special. I was only sort of 10, almost 11 years of age, and standing on an old box at my granda Lindsay, who worked in Ards Hospital as a fitter, made me and my dad carried this heavy little box the whole way up Wembley Way that I could stand on at the match.
Yeah.
And behind the goal and saw Andy Gray, you know, for that goal that probably would have been an own goal if he hadn't connected on the end of it. But that, you know, that's fantastic memories. But probably one that stands out even more is my dad took me to Molyneux at the end of 1980 to watch Wolves play in Liverpool.
Yeah.
I remember being in the old North Bank, the old wooden North Bank that shook like an MFI wardrobe. And I always remember, you know, that where you stood, it was all worn away. You know, it was that sort of stood with me. But that night Wolves beat Liverpool 3-4-1 and Emlyn Hughes scored.
Oh.
And you know, that's an abiding memory for me as a Wolves fan. I mean, we don't often get to beat top teams, let's be honest about it. So it does stick in your mind. Outside of that, quite ironic because you're involved in this a bit as well, because I was at the semi-final of the League Cup in 1980.
I can edit this if it's not good for me, right?
No. There's not, you're okay that way. The semi-final of the League Cup in 1980 against Swindon, we sat in the Steve Bull stand. I don't know what it was called, the Steve Bull stand. Then,
John Ireland, I think, was it? Yeah.
John Ireland stand, yeah. The John Ireland stand. And that was a special, special night. And ironically, it would be 40 years later until I sat in the same stand for a competitive game, which was beside you for the Manchester United quarterfinal in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
And I think I was that excited I did my best to pick you up and spin you around when Jota scored.
Not an easy job.
Much to the annoyance of some of the tartan blanket brigade behind us, but those are the sort of special memories for me. And
yeah.
And 2 years ago, I must give a mention, obviously, I wouldn't be a Wolves fan because of my father.
Yeah.
2 years ago was his 70th birthday, and thanks to you guys at Irish Wolves, I was able to bring my father and my two nephews, Scott and Matthew, to the Newcastle match. We didn't win it, didn't lose it. And it was a special day out for us all. And I've now, one of the boys is a fully-fledged Wolves fan, converted from Man United. So that was a victory in itself.
Yeah, there's a lot of lads, I think, have got it stumbled onto the Wolves trail by like that, being brought to games. And I suppose as kids, I know myself, you know, I've a brother-in-law, he brought me to a game in Milltown in the late 60s, and my mother told me I spent the whole night singing Shamrock Rovers, you know, in my sleep, you know, so those sort of things.
Yeah.
You know, and kids, they're always very open and receptive, and the natural draw would be to Liverpool United and the usual top teams. But so I even see a lot of guys see when, you know, they go to a Wolves game and there's something special about the teams that aren't regarded as, well, you know, the top four, that seems to draw a lot of younger fans in, you know, which is good for us.
Yeah. No, it's good. I mean, it's very difficult for a teenager to swing from one of the so-called in clubs, you know, Manchester or Liverpool.
Yeah.
But, you know, my nephew, what is he? He's nearly 18, and he's Wolves through and through. And the other boy plays for Glentoran under 18s, and he's a big Manchester United fan. But, you know, secretly deep down, I know that the Wolves thing caught him that day. It was his first ever Premier League match. And I suppose that's what it's about. I mean, when you live in Ireland or Northern Ireland, it is about who buys you a jersey or what happens. But, you know, in England, it's about where's your closest club. And when you go and you experience that atmosphere, it doesn't matter if your team are winners or losers or champions or getting relegated. That passion sticks with you.
Yeah.
And that's where it's born. So it's nice to get lads across from here, as I'm sure you agree.
Yeah.
And get them into the world's way.
From people I've met, through getting them to games and that, like, you know, like the kids sometimes want to go and the parents are going and they're not fans, they're just bringing the kid, and they almost seem to get bitten by it as well, you know, and they kind of, you know, the parent wants to go the next time, you know, the other way around, dragging the kid along. I suppose over the years, Wolves have had a few legends of players, and maybe some before our time and some in our time. But who would be your standout, maybe your top, or maybe your top three?
I suppose that era for me, when I first fell in love with the team, you know, Mel Eaves, who I've been fortunate enough to meet in the international lines, and, you know, Kenny Hibbett. To see Kenny Hibbett playing at the League Cup, as I said to him that night in McGee's bar, the last time I saw you was in 1980 on the pitch at Wembley, and I was only 10 years old when he was signing the book for my dad.
Yeah.
But it's funny how that sticks, and even at 51 years of age, those two guys are still absolute legends to me.
Yeah.
Andy Gray, you know, heroes are made for young boys, and the last major trophy we won was obviously that 1980 League Cup final. You know, it wasn't the most spectacular goals, but it won the match, and at the end of the day, that's all that matters. So Andy Gray for me was a special player in that whole Wolves resurgence again, back to the top. You know, I think over the last couple of years, you don't really make heroes as you get older. You don't make heroes out of players. You sort of the team are your hero when they do well. They do well.
Yeah.
But yeah, Andy Gray for me would be the standout.
Yeah. And of the, I know we may not hear those, but who do you look forward to looking at and say in the last 4 or 5 years with the team we've had, who will be your standout players? But we won't mention a certain Belgian lad, but
I mean, to be fair, right through the team, you know, when the team got promoted, I think we all had an affinity with Doc. You know, Doc was very instrumental in the first two seasons and where we finished in the Premier League. And I think we're all sad to see him go and understand why the lad maybe moved on. But for me, the likes of Doc, I love hard players, you know, I love Willie Boley. I love players who are committed. You know, Connor Cody arguably is good enough or not good enough to be where he is if we want to go top four. Yeah. But there's nobody more passionate for the club. And we've seen already this season, when you take him out of the team, it's like pulling the backbone out of the Wolves squad. You know, so he's there at the minute. And I think we need to build around him. I mean, right through the middle, you know, Cody, I think we're certainly lacking. Neves, massive respect for, and I think if we built a better midfield around him, the lad would shine even more.
Yeah.
And obviously the man we lost at the start of the season through the head injury, and Jimenez, I mean, he's one of the best, if not the best, you know, centre forward in the Premier League, and we miss him dearly. So, you know, I think he's equal to all of us.
I was talking to a friend of mine and was saying that about, you know, people talk about Harry Kane and Calvert-Lewin and all the, you know, top players at the moment that are banging in goals. But, you know, I says probably Jimenez, funny you should mention him. I was saying he's probably one of the top three in the Premier League, because on his ratio of chances to goals, you know, I mean, you see some players, they'll get 200 chances in a season and they'll score 30 goals. And Jimenez probably gets like 60 chances and he'll score 14, 15 goals. So, you know.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, to me, him and Danny Ings is another one who, you know, you've got to look at the teams they play and the chances that they get. You know, those two guys, Ings and Jimenez, are as good as there is in that Premier League.
Yeah, and Ings, he unfortunate probably when he went to Liverpool, but with injuries and injuries seem to be his big problem at the moment.
Yeah, no, for sure. And we've seen, you know, with the shape that we've tried to, you know, and the players we've brought in, it just isn't working. We see how invaluable Jimenez is to the team.
Yeah.
both, you know, holding the ball up, his distribution to the wide men, you know, the movement that he has, a fantastic movement, the space that he creates and the confidence he inspires in the rest of the squad. I don't, people talk about Jota, but I think Jimenez is pivotal in this season and why things have gone the way they have.
It's like everything, you don't see how valuable somebody is until you try and replace them, you know? And
yeah, absolutely.
Hopefully we'll see Jimenez before the end of the season anyway, in some form. Just to, it'd be an awful pity that when he does come back, there more than likely won't be fans. If he gets there before the end of the season, there won't be any fans there to see him, you know? The man deserves a standing ovation at least. There was one question I always like to ask people, and being Wolves fans, there's probably, you know, when you talk about memories and all, we all remember the great things, but we've had plenty of occasions where things haven't gone right for us, and when things were bad, they were always the things that stick in our mind. But would you have any memories that you'd rather like to erase from the mind?
I think we've got a few over the years. In the last few years, you know, we can't complain as Wolves fans, but the semi-final FA Cup against Watford, good God.
Yeah.
Heartbreaking. You know, a complete disaster. I think, you know, I went from watching grown men cry in 1988 at the team winning the League Cup semi-final to actually being a grown man crying myself. You know, I was devastated. It was to have the game, to have the final in the palm of our hand, in the palm of both hands, and my favourite player to cause the demise of our semi-final victory.
I knew you'd get him in somewhere.
No, I think we'll all agree. It was devastating. Sort of really took the shine off that weekend.
Yeah.
And a fantastic effort for the whole team. And that's why I think even this year, the frustration of, you've got to stand by the manager, and we all have our opinions and we're all allowed them. But I still do believe that he shouldn't have gone in with a weakened team. You know, we had a gilt-edged chance to be in the quarterfinal of the FA Cup against Bournemouth.
Yeah.
You know, to me, on a good day, would have been in the semi-final. You know, there's a great old saying, if your granny had, she'd be your granda. But it was the best chance that we had of being in that semi-final draw.
Yeah.
And they give, when you haven't won a trophy, major trophy for 40 years, I think the FA Cup needs treated with a little bit more respect. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, and I have to say, I was kind of happy enough. He justified what he was planning, what the plan was when we went and beat Southampton on the Sunday. The FA Cup, I always find, it's a bit of a lottery. And even, I know we got drawn against Bournemouth afterwards, but there's nothing to say we wouldn't go to Bournemouth and get beaten, you know? But or would you want to watch a cup final on the television rather than actually being there? Because this season, we wouldn't have been at the cup final if we got there.
No. It still would have been nice to be able to complain that our team's in the final and we can't go. You know, it's a case of it was a day started, as you say, fantastic and ended badly. And then I chose bad company to drown my sorrows with, and Ronnie Matthews. And I haven't drank brandy for 20 years, and I'll never drink it again for another 20 years. I think I had a hangover for 4 days. So thanks, Ronnie.
Oh, yeah. But it didn't take away the pain, though, after a while.
No. It didn't. But look, it was nice to go there and experience it, and it lets us see what we're capable of in the future.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll get back there in our lifetime to at least experience something with a lot of fans at Wembley. It'd be lovely.
Yeah. Well, I suppose the way things are going this season, Europe won't be on the cards next year. So maybe, be it the League Cup or the FA Cup, we give one of them a shot, you know?
I think the last couple of years, because we did so well in the league and we were challenging. I mean, let's be honest about it. You know, Spurs robbed us for that last place last year, and when we made Europe on a little bit of a technicality, but because we were challenged so strongly every weekend, an FA Cup loss or a League Cup loss wouldn't have hurt so badly. But this season, because I mean, I you correct me if I'm wrong, every night you sit down with a glass of wine or a bottle of beer to watch the match, you think, right, tonight's the night the old Wolves are going to turn up, and it hasn't happened this year. It's been bloody painful. It's been painful every single week. And it just doesn't seem to get any better.
But how do you think the lack of fans at the games this year, it's been good for some clubs. Like, I think West Ham, the atmosphere at West Ham can be atrocious with fans there a lot of the time. Aston Villa probably doing better without having crowds there. I mean, ourselves, I've no doubt, I think, looking at even the demeanour of Nuno and a lot of the players, they feed off the crowd.
You only have to look at over the last couple of seasons how many games we've either equalised or won the game in the dying minutes. And that's the 12th man. That's the fans for Wolves. Mm. You know, and having obviously had the benefit of getting to a few away games as well the last couple of years, you do realise how much of an inspiration Molyneux is for the team. You know, it's a noisy, because anybody that I've been with that hasn't been there before, there are many fans, 28,500, 29,000. It sounds like double that. A lot of the grounds are a lot quieter. You know, you go to Old Trafford, you go to Etihad. You know, Molyneux definitely has an inspirational theme there that helps the players. And I think we are one of the teams that have definitely suffered. There's a rebuilding process going to happen in the summer. And I think he knows, we're all experts, but he's the guy getting paid the big money. I think he knows where the team needs strengthened. And, you know, if they give him the money, and I think he'll do it. It's maybe not as attractive for some top European players to come to the Midlands as it is to go to, you know, the so-called big clubs. So let's hope we can rediscover the form of the last couple of years and get back up there again.
Yeah, hopefully we can. And if nothing else that you have to have when you're a Wolves supporter is hope. So a good season next season and fans back in the stadium, I think will that be absolutely fantastic for us. So anyway, Paul, great talking to you. And no doubt we'll meet sometime in August, September when the new season gets going. I'll see you soon.
Cheers,
okay.
Sean. Nice to speak to you. Cheers.
Bye. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.